Hello and welcome to the Illinois Audio Reader. My name is Cedric Richardson, and in this half hour I'll be bringing you part two of the Decatur Herald and Review. In our first article, a Macon woman in a child sex abuse case wants the judge to try her, not the jury. A Macon woman who denies partnering with her boyfriend to sexually assault three children under the age of 13, appeared in court Tuesday saying she has changed her mind about a jury trial. Ashley N. Job, 32, was due to be tried on August 17th, but told Macon County Circuit Court Judge Thomas Griffith that she now wanted a bench trial before him only, with no jury present. Job's change of mind was announced to the judge by her defense attorney, Susan Moorhead. Job confirmed her wishes when questioned directly by the judge, who carefully explained the trial by jury rights she was giving up. Job is pleading not guilty to four counts of predatory criminal sexual assault, three counts of aggravated criminal sexual abuse, four counts of sexually exploiting a child, and one count of exploiting a child. Her boyfriend, Jesse M. Damascal, 31, is pleading not guilty to six counts of aggravated criminal sexual abuse, two counts of predatory criminal sexual assault, six counts of sexually exploiting a child, and one count of exploiting a child. Damascal's charges remain set for a jury trial, and his case is scheduled for a pretrial hearing August 13th. The couple was arrested by the Macon County Sheriff's Office in January 2019 after detectives began investigating reports of sexual assault passed on by the state's Department of Children and Family Services. Victim interviews described a pattern of abuse in which the couple were accused of performing sex acts in front of the children and with the children. A sworn affidavit from the police said the couple at first denied all charges, but then said if any abuse did happen, it was committed while they were under the influence of illegal drugs. In a hearing in June, the judge ruled that statements made by the children during forensic interviews would be allowed in evidence against both Job and Damascal. And Griffith also allowed in statements made by the children detailing sexual acts and acts made to the foster mother currently looking after them, a woman who hopes to be able to adopt the kids. Special Prosecutor Kate Kurtz told Griffith she will need at least a day for the bench trial to allow sufficient time for the children to give evidence themselves. The judge agreed to hold a scheduled conference on September 2nd to work out the details of the bench trial and its timing. Both Job and Damascal remain held in the Macon County Jail. Her bail is set at $750,000 and Damascal's is set at $500,000. Looking over to our letters to the editor, White, Incarcerated and Privileged. I was given a 30-year sentence and over $200,000 in fines for nonviolent cannabis offenses. I was a young white male hauled off to prison to serve nearly 15 years before being released. I am currently at Stanford University making use of my second chance, and many have used my situation as reasons for policy change. After George Floyd cried out for his mother and took his last breath, some pointed to my situation to criticize the existence of white privilege. Where was his privilege when he got 30 years for cannabis, they said. I cringed, realizing the separation between reality and appearance. White privilege is not something that means you do not have to work hard. It doesn't mean you won't be unfairly treated. It's simply not having to work harder due to your skin color. As someone who spent 15 years incarcerated for something that is no longer illegal in Illinois, I assure you that there are barriers within the black and brown community that I have not had to face. Let me be unequivocally clear. Black lives matter. To say that is not to support an organization. It's an acknowledgement of the hardships others face. I was harshly treated by the justice system, but do not point to me as evidence of an argument which I know is incorrect. I am dedicated to moving Illinois forward, and society openly recognizing that people of color face challenges that whites, including myself, do not, is paramount to our culture and future. And that's from Jason Spires of Decatur. Destruction can't reach memories. Ultimately, it's plain and simple. Newspapers are about people. So when parts of them go away, emotions are going to fire. My emotions have fired here many times in 3 decades, watching people leave the Herald and Review for multiple reasons. They found other newspaper jobs, went on to college or back to college, moved to other fields, or just plain decided newspaper work wasn't for them. That's the nature of many jobs, right? The people who truly love the work and the process can't stay away, and those who dislike the work can't imagine how others stick with it. Many of us often stay in touch. As quaint as it may sound now, my arrival here in 1988 marked an increase in mail traffic between here and Rochester, Minnesota, the city of my previous employment. After a few years here, interacting with personalities far different than I'd matched up with north, I found more of the joy of people. I'd often say to coworkers that they might find jobs that were better, either via pay or work expectations or more tolerable hours, but you'll never have as much fun as you've had here. And as long as they were paying attention, they would have wonderful stories to tell, like the one about Good Ashley, whose counterpart obituary clerk shared her first name. The counterpart gladly joined in using the Good Ashley nickname for 2 weeks. At that point, she stopped suddenly and said, "Wait a minute, does that make me Bad Ashley?" She wasn't, because soon after, a faulty curling iron caused a smoky mess in her house, and she became Flamin' Ashley. There was also a young man we nicknamed Boy Ashley, because it seemed we had a surplus of Ashleys. That took place 2 decades ago, which shows how memorable some of those co-workers could be. Past co-workers have risen to higher levels in Lee Enterprises. Some left the state and or the field. Some reached retirement. There are examples of all among my social media acquaintances, from the former intern who's since been in more countries than I've been in states, to the man who's bounced between journalism and aviation for vocation. That Rochester, Minnesota newspaper's building was demolished last month, long after its 2 floors and block-sized building had turned out to be too large for a shrinking staff. Just months earlier, my hometown's weekly newspaper, which made me a professional at age 13, shuttered permanently. I mourned the loss with former co-workers via our social media accounts. But the funny thing was, the conversations turned to reminiscences and reacquaintances, former Herald and Review co-workers who probably only knew of the existence of Rochester because I talked about it, noted their sadness. But acquaintances were also renewed. People who are lucky are able to recall and discuss how much they enjoy their work and enjoy their co-workers. Sometimes they're lucky enough to realize it while it's happening. My career has featured dozens of memorable co-workers. Those memories and relationships outlast multi-million dollar buildings. Two Decatur sisters meet a children's book author. 7-year-old Ramona Smith is an eager reader, so meeting a real-life author was exciting to the second grader. "I think it's pretty cool," she said. On Monday, Ramona and her 5-year-old sister, Olive of Decatur, were given a special introduction to children's author and Decatur native Emily Kefalis at Kenny's Ace Hardware, where copies of the books are sold. The Smith sisters will attend Holy Family Catholic School in the fall, the school Kefalis attended as a child. The older Smith sibling is able to read the books to the younger sister. "We read tiny books," Ramona said. "But I'm practicing," Olive chimed in. Kefalis is a writer and illustrator of the children's books A Capital Dream, and her latest edition, A Call to Congress. The subjects of each book are the White House and U.S. Congress, written for early grade school students. "That's the whole idea. It's to introduce them," said Jenny Smith, the Smith girls' grandmother. Ramona came prepared to interview the author. She had written down questions such as, "How did you know how to write a book?" "What I did was read a lot of my favorite books to get an idea of how stories flow, what engaged me the most, and what I like to read," Kefalis answered. "I asked a lot of people I trust, like my teachers and some mentors of mine, what they thought of the book." And Ramona asked, "Where did you learn to make a picture?" Kefalis admitted she drew in her math notebooks when she was a student, "but I also paid attention," she said. The stories are about a tour guide who works at the United States Capitol Building in Washington, D.C., a job Kefalis had 6 years ago while she was working as a congressional intern for United States Representative Rodney Davis. "That was one of my favorite jobs," she said. "I got to share history. I get to tell stories basically of all these things that happened in the building. To see kids' eyes light up when you are there, it's just so magical. The energy was infectious." Kefalis explained to the Smith sisters the importance of the book's subject. "That's where our country's laws are made," she said. "These books are for students, capital dreamers like yourself, as an introduction to what happens in our nation's capital, what history has been made there, and what history will be made there." The young ladies talked to Kefalis 25 about their favorite subjects, which included art. "I loved doodling when I was your age," Kefalis said. "That's why I chose to illustrate these books myself." The art, which features the intricate details of landmark Washington, D.C. buildings, was a challenge, Kefalis said. "I want to make sure that I represent the place as well as I can." The author pointed out her favorite pages of the books, including the Statue of Freedom. "You want to make sure you get the sense of Her Majesty as if you're there yourself." Meeting with the Smith siblings is a rare opportunity for the author in the coronavirus age. When schools are still in session, Kefalis visited classrooms at least once a month. "Given the social circumstances, it hasn't happened as often," she said. "I'm grateful to be spending some time with Olive and Ramona today." Kefalis explained to the girls that the Capitol building is exciting, but it is also an office, like many other buildings. One of the big misconceptions about Capitol Hill is that it's a very rough house. But when you are there, it's just a workspace. People are very kind to each other because collaboration is what gets the job done when you're making legislation happen. But you'll learn about that later. And now the obituaries for the Decatur Herald area. Rogan Nicholas Donahoe, 10 years old, of Mount Zion, Illinois, passed away on Monday, July 27th, 2020. Funeral services will be held at 2 o'clock p.m. on Friday, July 31st, 2020, at Dawson and Wyckoff Funeral Home in Blue Mound. The family will receive friends for a time of visitation from 12 to 2 p.m. on Friday. Mildred Turner Gonzalez, 93, of Decatur, passed away peacefully on July 26, 2020, at her home. Funeral services will be at 10 a.m. Friday, July 31st, at Brentlinger and Earl Funeral Home in Decatur. Visitation will be 5 to 7 p.m. Thursday, July 30th, at the funeral home. Burial will be in Macon County Memorial Park. Memorials in Millie's honor may be made to First Evangelical Lutheran Church at 250 West Decatur Street, Decatur, Illinois, 62522. The Robert G. Turner Scholarship Fund, care of the Community Foundation of Macon County, 101 South Main Street, number 400, Decatur, Illinois, 62523, or the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, P.O. Box 98018, Washington, D.C., 20090. Mike Parrott, 72, of Maroa, Illinois, passed away on May 1st, 2020. Services at 11 a.m. Saturday, August 1st, 2020, at the Maroa Christian Church, with Pastor Tom West officiating, with Masonic services following. Visitation will be from 10 to 11 a.m. Saturday at the church. See www.calvertmemorial.com for the full obituary. Funerals pending for Wednesday, July 29th, 2020 are as follows. Deborah Armstrong, 58, of Shelbyville, died Tuesday, July 28th, 2020. Lockhart Green Funeral Homes of Shelbyville, handling the arrangements. Florence Ellen Davis, 91, of Decatur, died Monday, July 27th, 2020. Dawson and Wyckoff North Chapel is handling those arrangements. William Parks, 87, of Findlay, died Tuesday, July 28th, 2020. And those funeral arrangements are being handled by the Lockhart Green Funeral Homes in Shelbyville. Judy Kinney Seppi, 82, of died Monday, July 27, 2020. Calvert Funeral Home in Clinton is handling those arrangements. Lorraine Spencer, 88, of Decatur, died Tuesday, July 28, 2020. Calvert Funeral Home in Clinton is handling those arrangements as well. Dorothy J. Wallace, 93, of Decatur, died Monday, July 28, 2020. Graceland and Fairlawn Funeral Home is handling those arrangements. Those are funerals pending for Wednesday, July 29, 2020. Marie R. Scales, 90, of Blue Mound, Illinois, passed away at 7:55 p.m. Monday, July 27, 2020, at Moequa Rehabilitation and Healthcare Center. A mass of Christian burial will be held at 10 a.m. Saturday, August 1st, 2020, in Our Lady of the Holy Spirit Catholic Church with Reverend Jason Stone, the celebrant. A vigil prayer service will be held at 5 p.m. Friday evening at Dawson and Wyckoff Funeral Home in Blue Mound, Illinois, with visitation following until 8 p.m. at the funeral home. The burial will be in the Hall Cemetery in Blue Mound, and memorials may be made to Our Lady of the Holy Spirit Catholic Church. Joanne Morrison of Pana, Illinois, died Sunday, July 26, 2020, at St. John's Hospital in Springfield, Illinois. Funeral services will be Saturday, August 1st, 2020, at 10:30 a.m. and Kennedy and Sons Funeral Home in Pana, with Father Rodney A. Schwartz officiating. Visitation will be from 9 a.m. also on Saturday, August 1st, at Kennedy and Sons. Burial will be in Calvary Cemetery, Pana Township, Christian County, Illinois. Memorials may be made to St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Pana. Kenneth K. Davis, Sr. Kenneth K. Davis, Sr., 88, of Decatur, formerly of Bethany, was born June 6, 1932, and passed away at 8 o'clock on Monday, July 27, 2020, at home, surrounded by his family. Please join the family for graveside services, which will be held at 11 a.m. Friday, July 31st, 2020, at Green Hill Cemetery in Sullivan. Visitation will be held from 10 a.m. to 10:45 a.m. Friday at McMullen Young Funeral Home in Sullivan. Face masks are suggested, and please practice social distancing for the services. Memorials may be made to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. And that's all for the obituaries for today. And in one of our column pieces, Dear Abby, a man smitten by second husband hides a relationship from his wife. Dear Abby, 3 months ago, my husband ran into a second cousin he hadn't seen in 40 years. They were close for a short time during high school and saw each other a couple times after that. I was not aware until recently that he had looked her up on social media and had been communicating with her every day since then. I didn't think much of it when he did tell me until one night when he stayed on the computer with her until 3 a.m. He has lied to me about the number of times he's been online with her, and if she calls or texts, he tells me it's someone else. She sent him pictures, which I saw, yet he denied receiving them. One time, he forgot to sign off on a message he sent, and of course, I read it. To my shock, he was confiding a lot of things he has done while married to me that I was unaware of. It hurt me deeply, and I told him so. Recently, I was in the hospital. When I called him a couple times at night, He claimed he didn't pick up because he was tired. I found out later he was on the computer with her. I have asked him more than once why this relationship is so private, and he says they are just friends. But when I asked to see some of the things he has written to her, he refused to show me. I said, fine, then I will ask her. Well, he blew up. When I told him it hurts me that he spends so much time with her in the evening, he didn't give an answer. Am I overreacting? If so, could you please tell me how to settle down and deal with what is happening? Cousin Trouble in the Midwest. Dear Cousin Trouble, you are not overreacting. It's time to do what you said you were going to do. Call the woman and ask her what has been going on. After she fills you in, ask yourself if you still want to be married to a man who has cheated on you emotionally and probably physically. If you feel there is any hope of saving your marriage, offer your husband the option of seeing a marriage and family therapist together. However, knowing he has no compunction about lying to you or any respect for your feelings, you might prefer to simply consult a lawyer about what your next step should be. Finally, a massive mural transforms the Decatur Civic Center wall. The massive butterfly mural revealed Thursday on the facade of the Decatur Civic Center is complete when someone stands in front of it. There's a space for a person to stand, making each participant part of the artwork. They are a living mural, said Natalie Beck, president of the Community Foundation of Macon County, about the 15-foot wings. We want this to be a landmark for our community and for people to complete it, whatever mood they're in, whatever celebration they have, that they will find joy when they stand in front of these wings. The installation on the brick wall, just west of the main entrance, includes large monarch wings and a smaller set of wings designed for children and pets to pose in front of. They are the creation of Kelsey Montag, who has completed 300 similar pieces around the globe, including three in Illinois. Many include balloons and hearts, with wings being a common subject. Photos of people standing in front of the wings are shared on social media. Montag gained attention after one of her pieces was commissioned by musician Taylor Swift for the debut of her single, Me. She also created a piece for the 2019 Super Bowl. The custom paintings feature hidden local icons throughout. The Decatur mural has the transfer house train tracks, multicolored hands, a rural field with a tractor, and Decatur's invention of the fly swatter. A cheetah can be found in the smaller set of wings, representing Scoville Zoo. The monarch theme also represents the state insect. I hide images within that tell a larger story and highlight the community, Montag said. Montag and her sister Courtney Montag arrived in Decatur Tuesday and began the process of creating the mural 24 hours before its presentation. Beck and the other community members who were on hand Thursday to introduce and reveal the mural, which was a gift from the foundation in honor of its 20th anniversary in Decatur. They partnered with the Decatur Civic Center, Decatur Convention and Visitors Bureau, and Decatur Area Arts Council to install the painting. Thank you so much for joining me here on the Illinois Audio Reader. Again, my name is Cedric Richardson, and it's been a pleasure to read with you. Until next time, goodbye.